Good evening. This is Rochelle Sparrow, and welcome to my new show, The Rochelle Sparrow Psychic Connection. I'm really looking forward to speaking to you all, and we have a wonderful guest today, Catherine Moreau, which I'm sure you're going to be very interested in hearing about. But before we get started, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. I am a psychic trans channel, and basically what that means is that I hear words from my guides. It's like a sensory perception while I'm in a trance. So I actually sense, hear a word. And the other thing that I do is I read energies that these guides send me. And they're extremely helpful and very valuable in answering people's questions about health, finances, jobs, life purpose, as well as talking to you about how you are creating your life from the inside out and the most optimum way that you can create your life. What I'm going to do at the beginning of every show is answer a question for the audience. And today I have a question from Isabella, and she writes, I recently moved from one city to another. After 12 years of leaving Montreal, Canada, I've decided to move to Toronto. After being here for 2 months in the new city, I started questioning my move. Was this move meant to be, or was I acting on my impulses? It feels right to be here, but at the same time, I'm not too sure why I am here and how long I am supposed to be here. When I was leaving Montreal, I felt like I hit the dead end and need to do something about it. Now that I'm in Toronto, I feel like I'm in a void. Well, my guides say to you, Isabella, you are incorrect to assume that you're in a void, and your move was incorrect in this way. You need to face certain, it feels like, desperate needs to become involved, it feels like, in your life purpose. What you are living for and what you are trying to move towards is connection with who you really are inside of yourself. What we suggest here, and I'm getting a lot of artist energy, Isabella, what we suggest here is that you focus on art, the creative ability to draw. It feels like write. It feels like write for magazines, and it feels like there's something, there's an advertising job or something to do with, oh, thank you, guys, copywriting for ads that's available to you in Toronto as a career. And once you settle into, it feels like, your life purpose and know that you can move in this correct direction without fear, many doors will open to you and you will begin to experience the lifelong dreams of feeling at home in comfort. You are moving towards comfort with your moves. You are trying to understand, it feels like, the emotion of being at home or being in comfort. And in this regard, you will achieve comfort when you settle into knowing more and opening more to your own creative expansion. Okay. And good luck, Isabella, and thank you so much for sending in your question. And now we have Catherine Moreau, who's a very interesting guest. We are actually trading shows. I've been on her show, which is healthylifenet.net. And she's a wonderful host who is very involved in her spiritual work. She's an RN, an ordained metaphysical minister, a Reiki master. Her show is Tomorrow's Health at that healthylife.net address. And she is helping people right now with developing their food choices through color therapy and affirmations. And she is the author of The Color of Nutrition. Now, Catherine, you have done so much that I'm sure I'm leaving stuff out.
I do wear a lot of different hats, Rochelle.
You do wear a lot of different hats. Can you tell people what you're all about and what you're doing?
Well, basically, I'm doing many different things, as Rochelle already mentioned. But what I do, especially if people come to me for a private consult, whether it's through, internet, phone, or in person, I put together a whole package specifically for that person. So say even if they have a chronic illness that, you know, that many people have out there, we'll use lupus, for instance. You know, I just don't gear the diet to help with, just lupus. I gear the diet specifically for that individual. And also, before someone comes to me, I tune into their energy and I figure out what's going to really work the most. So I go into their emotional state, because many, many diseases are caused by the way we think. So I figure out what best way to help them figure out what was the cause, or why they're, you know, where they are, you know, why this disease came to them, because everything does come to us for a reason. And even disease, as harsh as it can be, or experiences as harsh as they can be, they do come to teach us a lesson. So then I put together a whole program, not only as far as diet, but to do with affirmations. I usually get messages, whether, a couple of times when I've had cancer patients come to me, I saw them sitting on the fence. And literally, their higher selves didn't care whether they lived or died. It didn't make a difference. Because as we start to understand death, then we start to understand that that is just a process and a continuation of who we are. So it's not such a big deal. So, but many people on a conscious level want to stay here. So I do work with affirmations, different acupressure points, and, many different things that I put together a whole program, you know, for that specific person.
Now, with your affirmations, for example, if their higher self is wanting to pass on, or it doesn't matter to them one way or another, are the affirmations geared to the intent of their staying present in this dimension, or do you help people move on, or how does that work?
Well, I tune in to really what they want, both on a subconscious level and a conscious level. And I'll use this patient as an instance. She came to me. She had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was sitting on the fence, and she was very metaphysical. So I was able to talk to her about that. Not all people are open to that. So I bring what people are open to hearing. You know, I'm not about, you know, telling people things that they really aren't going to listen to and really know how to handle. So she was open to it. And I said, I just see you sitting on this fence. And I said, you know, do you want to stay here? And she said, yes. She goes, I'm having my first grandchild's being born in a couple of months. I want to be a big part of this child's life. And yes, I want to stay here more than anything. And I said, well, we need to work with your subconscious mind and your conscious mind and put that to a balance. So when I work with the affirmations, you know, I tuned into what she wanted on a conscious level and asked permission, you know, on her subconscious level if that was okay. And so I put the affirmation according to her conscious level needs, pretty
much. What kind of an affirmation would you use for that kind of situation?
Well, that's very interesting that you brought that up, because through my own journey, the I am is very, very powerful. And that is as close to God as you can get. So when you use that in an affirmation, it's very powerful. But that didn't seem to be enough in my own journey. And a friend called me up, and she talked to me about what a Buddhist tradition was. And she stated that in the Buddhist tradition, if you add the word remembering in your affirmation, your mind knows that there's a solution, and then the solution can come about. So I added that into the affirmation. So all affirmations that I use always have the words, I am remembering, in some shape or form, you know, whatever it is that you want to be. You know, I am remembering the health that I am. I am remembering, you know, I am following my correct journey. So I always add those three words in there. It's very, very powerful. It's amazing how simple words can be so empowering. And they seem to work very, very well.
What happens when you go into somebody's energy? Like, can you describe that process for yourself? I know what it is for me.
Mm-hmm. And it is different for all of us. And, Usually, you know, of course, I always ask permission before I tap into anyone's energy, whether they're in person or whether they've just contacted me for whatever means. And I usually get a, you know, I always get a yes or a no, whether I'm allowed to go into their energy. And I work on an emotional state. It seems to be, that seems to be my biggest gift, is working on people's emotions and going in and healing, you know, their way of thinking. So when I go in, it's different for every single client also. Some people, you know, as I said, I get the picture of them just sitting on a fence. Some people, I get a feeling. I deal on a lot of feelings, and that's probably my primary thing. I'll just get truth chills on my right side when something, you know, that I'm thinking is correct for them, and truth chills on my left side when that's a no. So it's different things for different people, but mostly in feeling with me. I tend to feel things. I can feel their hurts, their pains.
Okay, so for you it sounds like, which is very similar to the process that I do as well, you reach out your consciousness as though it actually has fingers. And for me it's like literally an articulation. I could feel my sensory field getting larger and then moving over towards somebody's sensory etheric field, and then bringing in whatever emotionally that they're feeling into my etheric field, and then interpreting it. Is that something that sounds familiar to you?
Yes, except that I don't go the steps. I just kind of go with it wherever it takes me, because that's just who I am. I just jump with my feet first, and you know, and then figure out the rest of me follows. So it doesn't come as in stages for me. I'm just there.
Right. It doesn't come in stages for me either, but if I were to describe the process, that's how I think it would be.
And that, you know, sounds, you know, very in tune with, you know, with what I'm feeling also.
And I think that's interesting just to lay out for the audience about how that process happens, because they may be experiencing that or wanting to experience that more fully, or try to experience that type of expanding consciousness, and then they'll have a way to practice it perhaps if they begin to do that for themselves. The other thing that's really interesting is that you mentioned that you work with color. How does that work?
When I started writing my book, it was basically about my journey as far as nutrition. And I grew up on a very unhealthy diet, a processed food diet, and it wasn't until I finally stopped eating meat, and I'm not saying that that's right for everyone, but once I stopped eating meat, my journey kind of, my spirituality and everything increased and enhanced for me. And so when I started writing this book, I was dealing with a lot of different foods, and I got channeled to me to do it in color. And I was like, oh, okay. So when I put together the book, if anyone's familiar with the word chakra, those are energy zones of our bodies, and they are reflected in color, and they also correlate with certain, you know, parts of our bodies. So I started putting together foods that correlated with certain parts of our bodies with the correct color. And that's kind of how it all came about for me. And, it was just an interesting process how it all came out. But in my book, everything correlates with the proper chakra, the proper color, and the proper color of food with the right nutrients that are needed for those organs of the body.
And what is the name of your book again?
The Color of Nutrition.
And how can people get a hold of it?
They can get a hold of it through my website at www.katherynmorrow.net or through amazon.com. They can find the book also.
Okay, so when you started channeling this information in about the color with the chakras, was it something that was akin or closely associated with each color of each chakra?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it was. Well, say like orange. We'll use, you know, orange, of course, is very, very, you know, for one's health, but also with our solar plexus. That's what color it's, you know, in tune with. And I, did I say I meant my, boy, I'm not doing good here. I didn't mean my solar plexus. That's yellow.
No, that's okay. You're doing perfect.
I'm losing it here. But, you know, so with our sacral chakra, which is the color orange, that correlates with certain organs of our bodies. And then I put the food of the color oranges that correlated with the nutrition for those certain parts of the body. And that's how I came up with a whole way of eating according to our chakras, pretty much.
Now, what does that exactly do? Does it enhance the ability of the chakra to work? Does it strengthen somebody's, well, it probably does a lot. Does it strengthen somebody's mental image of the chakra so that they're more aware of it? Like, how does that all come together?
Well, yes, that definitely does. But what we need is balance. And all of us are so lacking with balance, especially with our bodies today, because we're inundated with so many different chemicals and, you know, wrong types of foods and things like that. So say you know that something's going, you know, wrong, say with your heart. And, you know, which is your heart chakra, and that is, you know, with the color blue. I mean, with the, I'm really not doing well today with the color green. And that's our, you know, that's our heart chakra. And so eating green foods with the proper nutrients for our heart creates balance. Now, we can be out of balance, you know, with too much greens. So say if you're living in a home where, you know, the color's absorbed through so many different ways, not only through our food, but through our environment. And so, you know, if we have green walls and green, you know, green couches and every single thing is green in the room, that can throw us out, you know, too much green. So we have to add some balance to that to, you know, to figure out what's going on, you know, with our bodies. And we know by our symptoms of what's going on. If we're having any type of heart, you know, problems or things like that, then we know that our body is not getting enough of something. And so that's when you would enhance the green. So you kind of have to know yourself a little bit and pretty much know different symptoms that you're going to. And then you can add those colors or take them away. Like I use an example as far as red. And red can either, you know, it is a very passionate color, and or it can be very aggressive. And I lived across the street from this house that had a red kitchen. Everything was red. It was red walls, red trim around the top, red curtains, red appliances. Everything was red. And four different couples lived in this one house, and they all divorced. And they used to fight in that kitchen, because they had a window and you could just see things flying, you know, because I was across the street on my front porch, and I, you know, and every single family divorced. But what drew them to the house was the red kitchen. They all loved it and they all kept it, but yet it caused a lot of aggression. So colors can, you know, if they're out of balance, you know, can cause a lot of distress. So we want to create balance. So, you know, by putting a little goes a far way versus a lot.
Well, I think what's interesting, and you're doing very well, by the way.
Considering we were going through a hurricane last night, my mind, I think, is in a hurricane.
Well, that could be a little bit disruptive.
Yeah, just a little bit, but we didn't lose our electricity this time, which was really good.
Oh, well, that's cool. What I was going to say, what's really interesting is that it sounds like you're using the paradigm of balance, mm-hmm. which is very cool. So there's not necessarily like bad energies or good energies or energies that don't serve the higher purpose in any way, it sounds like. For you, it sounds like it's a balance. It's a taking of these energies and balancing whatever energies are present and getting out of that kind of duality system of bad versus good.
Exactly that, you know, and that's what the key is to health, is balance. And, you know, whether it's physical, emotional, or, you know, on a spiritual level, you know, it all comes down to balance. So if we're out of harmony, you know, in any type of, you know, way, you know, we're out of balance, and it creates distress, you know, which then, you know, produces a disease.
So what happens? Can you lay it out? I'm just real curious. What happens with, let's say, a cancer patient who has decided to stay here? And do you get people who decide that they want to move on?
Definitely. And sometimes when I'm going to meet a client, sometimes I'll get hit that there's nothing you can do to help this person. They're moving on. And I'll be saying to myself, well, why am I going there? And I don't usually find that out until I get there. But yes, definitely for a higher purpose. I do help people move on. I work my whole life. I have been a medium, even though I was terrified of death, which is kind of ironic. And until I went through this whole transformation in the last 10 years, you know, that kind of changed me. And and I learned to use my gifts to help people to move on, because there's many people that they have to honor their contract. Nothing can be changed. We all come in with a certain time when we're going to leave, and no matter what anybody can do or say, sometimes that contract cannot be broken, and they have to follow through with what they came here to do. And, and you honor that, and you kind of help those people. But many times I'm not brought to help those people specifically. I'm brought to help a family member through the process of losing their loved one. And so I help with the emotion end of that part. So I never know what to expect until I get there. And
so what happens, let's say, is somebody's diagnosed terminal,
mm-hmm.
but their intention and their higher self says that they would like to stay here.
And then I go in and see, because as I mentioned before, sometimes no matter how much they want to stay here,
right.
the contract is saying no, that they have to leave.
Despite whatever their higher self says?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Well, their higher self is usually the one that knows the contract. Their conscious level is the part that doesn't,
right.
is not aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I'll get a message from their higher self to say, back off, there's nothing you can do.
Have you gotten messages that say, help this person stay?
Definitely, like the person sitting on the fence who I said could go either way, or many people I get that I'll walk in and I'll get the message right away that you can help them, they're staying here, you know, with your help if they change some things. And usually the things are very specific. What I see, most of it comes down to diet and working on the emotional level. And, and then I set up a whole plan for them that would work for them. It's up to them to follow it, though. They still do have free will, and if they don't go along and follow it, I've seen people that, you know, have just passed on, even regardless whether that they could have stayed if they chose to. So, you know, it comes to so many different levels that many things I don't even understand. I just get the messages and follow through with them and, you know, put out a plan for them, and then it's up to them. Sometimes, like with this cancer patient, when I put together the affirmations, she was too weak herself to do it. And I sat up in the middle of the night one night, and all of a sudden I got the message. It was like, tell her husband he needs to help. And as soon as, and I went and I visited them, and I put together the affirmations with acupressure points for them to touch at the same time that they were saying the affirmations, but I had the husband say them with her. And instantly, I saw the chemistry and the click and the strength, and this couple was working together, and she was finally working from his strength, and she's fine today because of that. But she couldn't do it on her own. She needed help. And they were so connected, so he was definitely the one to help her.
Wow. So what the affirmations and the acupuncture points do is they address the emotions, it sounds like, on a subconscious or unconscious level. So somebody doesn't necessarily need to be aware of how they're emotionally vibrating, because the emotions are still addressed.
Exactly. That is, you know, definitely true, especially with acupressure or acupuncture. You know, it works on so many different energy levels of our bodies. We don't really know what it's going to go in and fix at that moment. But if you give the affirmation and the intent, you know, and the intent is such a big part of it, you know, people's intent, you know, their true intention. You know, many people say that they want to stay, but they really don't. You know, they might be saying that for their family, but underneath, they're really tired. They want to leave. They're done. You know, and they don't want to admit that to their family. You know, but they're admitting it to me through, through other means. So then I work with them privately on that.
So what was your own psychological process? Because you mentioned that you went through a transformation, and it sounds like over many different years that you were terrified of death, and then you got to a point where you accepted death. And it sounds like that's part and parcel of you doing this type of work that you were meant, that was part of your contract.
Yes, exactly. You know, as a little girl, before I shut my eyes, I used to always see faces just revolve past me constantly. And it's very funny, your book, JFK is Still Alive, it brought back memories. I remember when I was in first grade, when he was assassinated, and I was walking home from school, and I kept saying to myself, don't visit me, because anybody who passed away always visited me before they left. And it was very traumatic for me as a child. I had no one to talk to or anything. And I remember, you know, that night I had the covers tightly over my head, and I kept saying to JFK, don't visit me, don't visit me. And sure enough, his face, you know, ran past me like all the other faces who have passed. And, you know, at the time, of course, I didn't even understand what was going on. It just was a fear level for me. And as I progressed, I had read some books, and my father passed away. And thank goodness I had read some books, and I was totally at peace with death. I don't know what made the transformation or what made me totally at peace with it, but everything comes in an appropriate time. And my father passed away, and him and I had such a connection, and I knew that he left to help me with so many other things that he couldn't help me for, you know, here on this plane. Yet it was still so hard to lose this person. But I was at peace with death. I knew it wasn't an ending any longer. And so finally, I was able to help many people, you know, who had lost a loved one. And I was able to talk to their loved one for them and give them messages or, some peace to know that, you know, it continued. And I think many, many people are now becoming aware of these talents. I run into so many people that say, I'm a medium. We're running into so many people that are really awakening today and are, you know, achieving many, many talents and opening up, you know. So I'm not the only one, you know, that is out there, you know, opening to a new way of looking at life and things for myself. So.
Yeah, and it's through your work, as I was talking to my other guest yesterday, it's through your work that you attune people, that you give permission to other people to begin to explore their own talents and their own interests and open up to themselves. So you model that for people, which I think is a wonderful thing, Catherine. And the other thing is that I think is so interesting is that you took that process by the bull, by the horn, so to speak, and you never left it. I mean, you could have shut it down in so many different ways because it was so terrifying for you, but that doesn't sound like it was part of that process for you. You just tolerated it.
Exactly, until I was ready to go to another, you know, dimension. And again, back to the meat, it was amazing how by just stopping eating meat that my spirituality opened up and increased so much. And that might have been also because at the time, you know, I wasn't aware of eating, you know, free range, healthy meats, what I call, you know, without the hormones and the antibiotics, because the whole process of killing an animal really does go into the food and then into our bodies. And it closes us off from many, many different things. You know, so for me, that opened up a different way of thinking and a different way of being, and it definitely, you know, enhanced who I am.
So do you recommend to people to become a vegetarian or become more involved in eating free-range meat?
I definitely recommend eating free-range meat. My whole family here, my sons and husband are type O's, so they are meat eaters. And I do go according to that blood type diet for a certain, range of thought. But I do only buy clean meat for them. They all the meat that I buy is free range. It is hormone free, antibiotic free. I think that is so important. And also the animals are treated differently, more humanely. And so their process of going through the death process isn't as traumatic because they've lived a very good life. And they're also brought here for a purpose, and they know that. You know, they're willing to sacrifice themselves for us, but in a kind, loving manner. So when we treat animals in a kind, loving manner and let them be animals and roam the fields just as you know, as they're meant to, and then when we use them as food, it's a different process. It's not so detrimental to your health, you know, just by eating animals that are so overprocessed and can't move and are in, you know, many different, you know, environments that aren't conducive for their own health while they're living here.
Do you think that we take in and ingest the emotions of the energy of the animals?
I definitely know that for a fact, definitely.
Okay. So and, you have visions that have confirmed that for you?
Many different things. Just even if you look at athletes, they eat large meat diets. And aren't they out there, oh, you know, especially football players or, you know, boxers and things like that, because it makes them aggressive. It changes who they are. So, you know, by them not eating, you know, the proper way of, you know, many athletes don't realize that their potential really is a lot higher on a vegetarian diet versus a meat diet anyway. You know, but, you know, everyone has to do what they're ready for. And, you know, I believe, people all, you know, figure that out for themselves, you know, pretty much.
Now, you mentioned different diets for different types of blood. I never heard of that before. Can you explain that?
Oh, you never heard of the blood? The whole theory behind that is, you know, what community we all our ancestors came from. Like, I'm a type B blood type, and basically I was like with around a lot of dairy, my ancestry. And, you know, this person who had written the book, and I'm sorry I don't have the author's name, but they theorized all different blood types formulated from different regions of the world. And those were like the meat eaters. They were the wanderers. They were the hunters. And, you know, back in our ancestry. So they are meant to eat meat. As I said, I'm a type B, and definitely for dairy. And I do eat dairy, even though I'm a vegetarian. I eat raw dairy. Which is very, very, you know, healthy, and it works for my body very well. I don't know if I'll always continue that way of eating, if I'll ever go to be a total vegan, but for me, for a type B, a vegetarian diet and a dairy diet is very good. And I really see the effects in my own body, how well I feel. When I used to eat meat, I used to feel so heavy and tired and, you know, just didn't feel well with it. And, you know, so it was a gradual process for me to get rid of the meat. It took probably, you know, 10, 15 years. I ate less and less of it. And, you know, and it was much better for me. Like a type A blood type is more vegetarian solely. They don't do well on dairy, and they don't do very well on meat either. So you know, if you try certain things like that, you'll see your body respond differently, and you'll know. You know, and what's right for your own body. I don't follow it strictly, you know, but pretty much it seems to work for me.
So is that part of your consultation package?
As I said, I use a lot of different tools, and before someone comes to me on an intuitive level, I am told exactly what that person pretty much needs. So I use the tools that I need for that specific client. Now, when I'm talking in groups, which I do a lot of public speaking, I kind of have to do it a little bit differently. And sometimes I'll zone into certain people that just need the message from me, and I'll give them a specific message, you know, as far as what they need to do during my talks. Many times that happens. Someone will just come right at me, and I have to say, excuse me, but I need to give this person this message. They need to hear that, you know. So
what kind of messages come through you? Can you give the audience an example?
You know, it's different for each person. Like when I was doing, a lot of times what I call color therapy, if I'm doing, you know, a workshop on that, I'll look at someone and I'll say, are you interested in teaching? Messages just come to me. And she's like, well, I was deciding whether I wanted to be a teacher or, you know, a doctor or whatever. And I was like, teaching, they're telling me loud and clear, you're so meant to be a teacher. And so messages just come, you know, at me like that. I don't really have much control. I'm not like you where I can channel into and go there. They just come when they're needed for certain people. And I guess it's usually at when they have a strong need, then I'm just drawn right to give them that message.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. I've had that experience, especially with people who are changing careers or thinking about a career. That is a big time thing with me. I can literally feel it jumping right off of them.
Mm.
Their choices or their changes that they're going to make from one career to another. So yeah, I've had that same experience, except for me, it doesn't come through messages per se, but it comes from their energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm able to interpret the energy. So when you do workshops for people, what kind of workshops do you teach?
Well, I do all different types of workshops. I do a lot of what I call holistic nutrition, and I talk about the foods in the right form. We hear so many different things. Oh, this week this food's healthy, this vitamin's healthy. And, you know, through my many, many years and through my, you know, intuitive skills, I'm able to figure out really what works and what doesn't work in our society today. And I'm not saying that that can't change because we are all changing. But pretty much, you know, what's going on today and what the people need in their diets. So that's one of my workshops, holistic nutrition. And as I mentioned, color therapy is another one. And I do that for the, I do an emotional one on the emotions, or I do one with food. I don't usually put them together because it gets too confusing. And then I do them for specific diseases. Say if you have arthritis, I have a whole, you know, food plan, and I incorporate the color, you know, what would work, you know, to help get rid of inflammation and things like that. So, you know, so I have many, many different workshops that I do, and it depends on, you know, what the need is out there.
Do you do them online as well?
No, I haven't incorporated that yet. I do my consulting online or through, you know, phone, but I don't do my workshops online. I would love to get that technology going. that's another step.
It's there.
Yeah.
And that would be great. I think a lot of people would be very interested in that.
Yeah, it's definitely the wave of the future because people don't want to leave their comfort zone. They don't really want to come out of their homes. They're too rushed in this crazy world today, and they once they're home, they want to stay there.
Now, you mentioned the color for swelling. Isn't that what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
I thought I heard that. Can you explain how that works? Like, can you give us an example of that?
Okay, well, let's use an example for someone that is very high-strung, or like, say you have children that you want them to be in, you know, more relaxed, you know, especially before bedtime. And blue helps our inner calmness. It helps, you know, us relax. It's a great color to paint your room. It helps us sleep. It, you know, enhances all that. The green color represents our health and also harmony and balance. A wonderful way, if you're feeling low in energy, a wonderful way is to go outside and, you know, especially barefoot in the grass, and lean against a tree trunk and put your left arm wrapped around this tree trunk and your right hand in front of your solar plexus and ask the tree for energy and healing and love. And you will feel that energy just vibrate through your feet and through into your solar plexus. And usually after I'm done, since I am a Reiki master or anyone, you know, with any type, I usually do some energy work on the tree and thanks, but it really gives me a large amount of energy, and it's a wonderful way to get energy and balance and, you know, and good health. It's amazing what nature can give to us.
That is wonderful. So what, for example, would be good for swelling? Like if you had a swollen ankle?
The white energy would be good, which right now I'm getting some messages here, so I'm a little hesitant with that because it's something different than what I would answer originally. But I'm feeling with the swelling of the ankle, a lot of white energy would definitely enhance that and you know, help it. Blue is very good. It takes away a lot of the swelling, like an ice blue, you know, how they have those. And it's not by accident that, you know, different companies make like those ice packs in the mm-hmm. blue. You know, a lot of people don't even realize why they do certain things or choose certain colors. But yes, that definitely helps. Blue helps with, you know, the, but I don't know why that white was just coming in so strong at that moment, because usually I answer blue, and, but it was coming in for some reason, so someone out there must need some white energy that's listening.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. And the other thing that I'm thinking is that there's, as you were talking about before, you address these issues in a holistic manner. So you're also addressing the emotional issues as well. And white might be something that's cleansing out the emotional issues around whatever mm-hmm. swelling could be happening.
Right, because we know that that works on our crown chakra. But as I said, someone out there is listening that needed that information, and that's why that was coming through. So.
Oh, that's interesting. Can you pick up anything else that people might need out there that we can give them?
The word balance is just so strong, and we're going through, there's so many fears out there. The world is changing so much, and I'm feeling definitely the green energy, which, you know, teaches us how to love and get back to nature, and you know, because I sense that there's so much anxiety, and I do know that from, you know, working with many different patients, and, you know, and what we don't understand is when we turn on the light in a very dark, ugly place, it looks pretty awful. And right now, that's how the world looks in certain aspects, you know, through the war and everything. So people are working on that energy. People are listening to the news all the time and, you know, up on that war. And, you know, go back to nature. Go run barefoot in the grass, as I said before. Go to the parks. Go bring yourself back to balance and stop dwelling so much. Yes, we do need to be aware of world issues. But most important, we need to just send love and light to the issues and to all the people around you. You know, there's so much turmoil with families, with communities, with, you know, everything. Stop judging. Stop always wanting to be right and just send love and light to that area. So I'm feeling people need a lot of balance right now. So a lot of green energy.
Okay. So what you're saying is that the love and light is going to act as a balancing agent to whatever is emotionally behind the anxiety or the fear that's happening, or the lack of security, really, which is the cause of the fear.
Exactly. You know, we can't control everything, and we shouldn't judge everything. You know, when people, you know, talk about the president or whatever, I said, you know, stop judging it. Just send him love and light so that he makes the best choices. You know, we don't have to, you know, sit there and say, oh, well, you better think like this or think like that. It just doesn't work like that. If we send love and light from our heart, you know, truly from our heart chakra, and really, really feel it and really send it and say, please make the best choices with this love and light I'm sending you, you know, I think that we'll see a whole different world. And if we do that within our own families. When I worked as a nurse for many years, I used to do it with my patients and with my staff. You know, if they were gossiping or anything, I would just sit and I would send them love and light. And do you know, it would stop them talking instantly. And then they'd be quiet for a few minutes, and then they'd start talking just about everyday things instead of gossip or, you know, meanness towards another person. So it's very, very powerful tool, and it really, really does work. And we all can do that. And we can really change this world just by that simple, simple deed, just by sending love and light.
So what you're saying is that it's a technology all on itself, and that was something that I've also been discussing with people the last couple of days, about the technology and the use of energy and how it can actually change somebody's etheric field or aura that's around them in ways that they might not even be conscious of.
Exactly. You know, it is so empowering. Our thoughts can create negativity or positivity. And so if we put it out in a positive light, and when it comes from true love, we can change so much. We can stop fighting in our families. We can, you know, make our community be kind and loving. And it just takes one person to change things. And, you know, if we look at it like that, that we are important, and that we, if we're responsible and just do it, it's going to get passed on, you know, to the next person. And the next person's going to feel that love and light. They might not know what they're feeling, but they are going to be affected by it in some shape or form. And it, you know, and then if they pass it on, it's like pay it forward. And it's just a continuing cycle, and that's what's going to produce peace in our planet.
Yes, I totally agree. The other thing is that's interesting, as you're talking, I'm just picking up on how light can go into the cellular level and actually change the DNA.
Exactly.
Of what's happening within somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of interesting, the affirmations that you're using about remembering. Because automatically, if your DNA changes, then of course you're going to be in memory.
Exactly. That is so true. And, you know, I always say, you know, if someone's thinking hostile thoughts to another person, that other person is affected. And a lot of times it has to do with their health. You know, we see that, you know, many people in relationships that are toxic, they come up with some form of a disease. And that is from the other person's thoughts. So all our thoughts can make a difference in a positive way or a negative way. And we need to take responsibility for that. We really need to know how important our thoughts are towards another human being.
So do you work with couples? Like, for example, it sounds like almost like working with children. You have to work with the whole family unit in order to get the family well, not just the child, the identified patient. But as you're speaking, I just imagine that you would be drawn to working with the whole family unit, especially if there's discord and somebody is the identified patient and is carrying an illness for the family, so to speak.
You know, exactly. But sometimes the family member themselves isn't open, you know, the whole family. So, you know, I work with the people that will let me work with them. And then I teach them, you know, with their thoughts, you know, surround them with love and light. And sometimes in a situation, sometimes what I say, you have to put up the mirrors, you know, if they're so negative and they're sending such toxic thoughts our ways, but yet you don't want to leave the situation and you still want to be there, you also need to protect yourself at the same time as surrounding them with love and light, but then protecting yourself with mirrors to reflect the negativity back to them. You know, so I teach people so many different tools depending on, you know, whatever circumstance they're going through.
And it sounds like your tools are definitely spirit-driven. They come right through you for whatever particular situation so that they can – it sounds like it's an evolving process for you. They're not exactly static.
No, it isn't. It's definitely an evolving process with me. And I'm going through many, many changes myself. I guess life is a process, you know. I believe you mentioned it was your daughter, right, who said that no book is a fairy tale?
Right.
Yes. And, you know, I thought about that, and I said, that's exactly my life. You know, I mean, it is a process. It's continuous. And, you know, and what an insightful thing for a young child to already know.
Yeah, she's 7 years old, and I just want to share this with the audience because my daughter is 7 years old. And this is how brilliant all the children are right now, the crystal children and the indigo children. But one night we were just snuggling up in her bed before she went to sleep, and she's telling me, you know what, Mommy? She goes, Ben has a problem. He can't talk right. And Sophia has a problem. She gets on my nerves. And Karen has a problem because she hugs on me too much. We all have problems, Mommy. It's all right. You know, it's just not a storybook. There's no happy ending. It's just the way it is.
And, you know, and that's so amazing, isn't it? I mean, goodness, if I could have been that smart at that age, just think me today.
I mean, it is amazing because what she was describing is exactly what you're saying. It's all a process. It doesn't end. There's equanimity in the process. We all have problems. We all have things that we're working on, and there's no judgment in that.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just thought that was just the coolest thing for a 7-year-old to come out with. Just amazing.
Yes, I agree. And it's really made me think a lot. it's very empowering.
It is very empowering, and as I'm really tuning into what she was talking about, it's probably all of our work, your work, my mm-hmm. work, everybody's work out there, that has helped them develop, has helped them heal in numerous ways, has been open to spirit that has allowed this new type of child to come in. Otherwise, they would have been blocked.
Exactly. And think about, you know, you know, you and I, for an instance, you know, we didn't, you know, weren't raised in a family that was open, but yet we kept going forward. But think about all the other people that were blocked by the people that they were raised by, you know, so.
Right. And now they're beginning to open up too. As you said, more and more people are coming out and,
mm-hmm.
and sharing that they're a medium and a medium and a medium.
Exactly. Everyone's intuitive skills are opening up, and that's so beautiful because people are really going to, you know, once you start trusting your intuition and the messages you get, you know, it just opens up a whole new world.
So what do you think is on the horizon for you as far as, it sounds like you were talking about that, you know, you're in a process, and I'm just wondering if you could share more about that. I'm just real curious, like, what's going on with you psychologically right now that you're opening up to?
Well, I guess many different things. You know, as far as for me, the biggest thing was I always thought I was very, very much at peace my whole life. And I was always, I have a lot of yellow energy around me, and I'm very happy-go-lucky, and I see the world through rose-colored glasses. Well, through my experiences in the last even year or so, I was, you know, experienced another side, and I got to see that, you know, the world isn't so perfect. Even though I still am able to see that it opened me up to a different level, so I'm able to help other people heal in so many different aspects. So I don't know exactly where I'm going. I just keep following where I am being guided, and I'm very open to, you know, wherever I can be to help the most people. And I think that is going to be more in a broader, you know, spectrum than just individual consults and things like that. I think my main joy would be to teach children and to work with children because they are so open to change. And even as far as diet, you know, even though they do the drive-through at McDonald's, when I teach them differently, like my nephews who are 8 and 5, they're always like, oh, I'm eating your food, Aunt Kathy, and this is so good. And my nieces are always like, oh, open up a cafe for us teenagers. We need you. You know, and then they go home, you know, I teach, you know, work with their friends, and their friends go home and say, well, we need free range chicken eggs. And, you know, they tell their parents a whole new way of shopping. So the children are so open to learn so many different things. And it's just such a joy being with them because they are so ready to learn different ways.
You know, as you were talking, it kind of occurred to me that maybe that was the balancing aspect for you in terms of going around and seeing the happy-go-lucky side of life, which is certainly legitimate, and then experiencing the darker aspects of the divine, which is all the same thing, of course. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe somehow it balanced you for some greater purpose.
Yes, it definitely did. And it made me more understanding of, you know, people, especially people going through depression and things like that. I was always very kind and loving to all my patients, you know, as a nurse. Depression is such a debilitating disease, but I always felt that they had the ability to snap out of that if they wanted. And, you know, and I learned another side, you know, that sometimes some people are so lost that they don't have control over their own emotions and their own feelings, and that they really do need the help of another person. And, you know, and I'm just glad that I was able to hug my patients and be there, you know, as they went through hard times. I always spent a lot of time with the people, you know, instead of just passing out pills and things like that. So I'm really grateful that I was able to, you know, look at the other aspect, but now with more understanding than I had then. Even though I was kind and loving, I have more understanding.
That's very interesting because it enables you to connect in a different way. I think that when you connect inside emotionally with yourself, it opens you up to connecting outside emotionally with another in a whole different way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, brought me to many different dimensions. So I'm quite dimensional anymore.
Yeah, especially with Reiki. You know, the other thing that's coming in, too, is that you're going to be, it feels like for you, if this is okay to say.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It feels like there's many different books in the offing, too. I'm getting several.
As far as writing more books?
Yes.
Well, I should be finished with my second book, which is My Journey Towards Peace.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so, but I'm not finished yet. It's been a very hard book for me to write, because the first part is about my own personal journey and the second part is the tools. So they were very fresh and raw, and so it was kind of hard for me to, so I've been procrastinating with that book, but I do have to finish it. As a matter of fact, right before I got on the show, I was going through some of that and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to finish this book. This is terrible. I've been really procrastinating with it, so.
Well, it can be a difficult journey, especially when you're experiencing or re-experiencing all those different emotions, but the good news is that there is an end of the process, and the process is always one of alchemy, where it becomes changed into something that's golden that you can use for yourself.
Exactly.
So that's the good news for yourself and other people out there, so I'm sure people are going to really enjoy reading that book. And what is the name of that book again?
Well, I think right now I'm calling it A Journey Towards Peace. You know, and basically it's A Journey Towards Peace Within. So.
And the name of your other book?
Is The Color of Nutrition.
And they're available through?
Amazon.com or through my website at www.katharynmorrow.net.
Very good, very good. Well, we're at the end of our time here, but I just want to share with you that it's been a delight having you and very, very informative. And you're so wide-ranging in all of your skills and your techniques. And I think that somebody like you who is so wide-ranging just speaks about your openness to spirit in all sorts of different ways, that you're allowing spirit to work through you. And the other thing that's so interesting to me is the way that you stayed with your process right from when you were a little child. Because a lot of times when you hear about mediums or other people, I'm thinking of the pet psychic, for example, who had those terrible experiences when she was a child with animals that were being slaughtered on her farm, and she shut herself down.
Aww.
For many, many years. And then she, in her later life, opened back up to her own skills. But that wasn't something that you did, despite how terrifying it must have been for you as a child to see all these faces go by you. You stuck with that process. So that really bears well for all of those out there who need the type of services that Catherine offers, because that means that she's going to be sticking with your process as well to help you heal, to help you get well, and to help you get the help you deserve. This has been Rochelle Sparrow and Catherine Morrow, and I so appreciate you coming on.
Oh, Rochelle, thank you, and thank you for such the kind words. And you know, everything that comes from your heart is so filled with love, and I'm so grateful to be able to share this planet with you.
Oh, well, thank you, and I appreciate you too, and I'm glad you're here too. We all need each other, and thank you, Don Newsom. God bless you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, and have a great day. And this is Rochelle Sparrow, www.rochellesparrow.com. And for more information about Catherine Morrow, you can look on my website or www.bbsradio.com. Have a very good day. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.